Can you start?
Yes, we can start.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidil mursaleen nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. So thank you very much for being here together, studying some ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah. And last week, we had the study of Ayatul Kursi, the greatest ayah of the Quran, many blessings in reciting it, and of course, full of meaning. It is a beautiful ayah that explains the concept of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a very beautiful way, in a very effective way, in a very powerful way. There is no God except Allah, the one who is living, ever living, and subsisting, providing for everyone, knows everything, whatever happens now and past and future, everything is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching. He does not go to sleep or take a short nap. These are things that are for the creatures, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of all, who is the Lord of all. Everything belongs to him. Lahuma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and keep us on the right path. And after mentioning that very strong, very beautiful, very comprehensive concept of Allah, and mentioning what is the truth and what is the falsehood, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La ikraha fid din, there is no compulsion in religion. That even though we speak very strongly about our faith, our principles, but we don't force anyone to accept them. It is up to people. Of course, the truth is clear from falsehood, but at the same time, it is not allowed for Muslims to force anyone, to coerce anyone about that. But those who deny the falsehood and those who believe in Allah, they are the ones who are holding a very strong, mighty handhold. And this handhold is not going to break, because this is the handhold that is the divine handhold. This is provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah hears and knows everything. And then it was mentioned 257 that Allah is the wali, Allah is the protector and the friend of those who believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is who comes very close to the believers. Walayali means to come to close, and walayali also means the one who is his friend and who is the companion. So Allah is the wali of those who believe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them out from darkness into light. And as I mentioned, the zulumat are mentioned in plural. So there are different kind of darknesses. Darkness of shirk, that is when you make, believe that there is a God beside God, beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And darkness of zulm. Az-zulm az-zulumat, darkness of oppression and injustice and wrong. So darknesses are many. Darkness of ignorance, jahl, darkness of not caring of other people, doing wrong to others. So different kind of darknesses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us that we should leave all those acts of darkness and come to light. The life should be full of light and goodness. Min al-tulumat ila nur. As far as those who disbelieve, their protectors are taghut. Their friends are taghut. Taghut is that which is which takes you away from the path of Allah, that makes you transgress and go beyond your limits. These are the ta'ghut, they are concepts or they are forces, people, and they take people out from light and to darkness. Ulaika ashab an-nar hum fiha khalidun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of the believers and he guides them. After this, we have three examples that are given. Three stories are mentioned after that. And these stories tell us about Allah's guidance. And this guidance comes to the people. Some accept it and some don't accept it. And both examples are given. Also, it is mentioned that how is this life, the life and death? What is happening about this life? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some beautiful episodes, some very beautiful examples of that. So here you have number one. In the ayah number 258. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. Have you not considered him who disputed with Ibrahim about his Lord because Allah had granted him the kingdom? When Ibrahim said, my Lord is he who gives life and causes death. And he said, I give life and I cause death. Ibrahim said, truly Allah brings the sun from the east, so bring it from the west. Thereupon he who disbelieved was dumbfounded. And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam was more than 4,000 years ago. And in the area where Ibrahim alayhi salam lived, there was a ruler, a king who was a very powerful king, very mighty king. And he is known as Namrud, or in English they call him Nimrod. So Namrud was a mighty king, powerful king. And as in many places, in many cultures, the kings used to think of themselves as divine, that they are either gods or they are the incarnation of God. They are God on earth. So they believe that they control everything and everything is, they can do whatever they want. They make decisions of life and death. So if they want to kill somebody, they would kill somebody. If they want to keep somebody alive, they will keep somebody alive. So they thought that they have the ultimate power. So this is the way how Namrud used to think. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, probably, we don't know exactly at what time in his life Ibrahim alayhi salam had this encounter with this king. Probably after he went through the ordeal of fire. As you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam was the king. They wanted to punish him because of his the event that happened in the temple when the many idols were broken. And it was Ibrahim alayhi salam was charged that he's the one who did that. So they decided to make fire, make a ditch and put fire in the ditch and throw Ibrahim alayhi salam in the ditch. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. They wanted to make a plot against him, conspiracy against him, want to kill Ibrahim alayhi salam, but Allah saved him. And Allah said to the fire, Ya narukuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, O fire, cool down and be safe for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was safe, was not burned, were not touched by the fire, and he came out. And it is said that at that time, the king invited him and said, who are you? What do you say? What do you believe? And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I believe in the Lord of the worlds, Rabbul Alameen. And my Lord is the one who gives life, and he is the one who gives death. He is the one who causes death. So nobody is in this world alive except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him life. And nobody can die without the will of Allah. So Allah is the one who gives life, and he is the one who causes death. Now the king said, I give life and I give death. It is mentioned in some of the commentaries that there were two people who were in prison, and both of them were supposed to be killed. So he said, bring them out. And he forgave one person and said, you can go. And he said that the other person to be killed. And he said, look, this person was supposed to die and I made him live. And the other person, I caused him to die. So I control life and death. Of course, this was a foolish thing, because Ibrahim alayhi salam was not talking about that. Ibrahim was talking about the one who originates life and who is the one who gives, everything is under his control, absolutely. Not the short kind of thing that here and there, life and death, but Ibrahim was not. So Ibrahim alayhi salam did not want to argue with him and tell him that, no, this is not what I meant. I meant something else. Ibrahim alayhi salam said something else. He said, all right, if this is what you say, in Allah yati bishamsi min al-maghrib, my Lord brings the sun from the east. You say that you control everything, bring it from the west. So Ibrahim alayhi salam brought him to this something phenomena that is there in front of everyone, universal phenomena. Sun comes from the east. He said, if you control everything, bring the sun from the west. And فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَى. So he became dumbfounded. He could not answer that. So he realized that he has a lot of limits. And his claim was not, there is someone who controls everything. You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam had great experience with this thing. He is the one mentioned in the Quran that he saw the stars, and he saw the moon, and then he saw the sun. And then he realized that the Lord is the one who is the creator of all these things. The sun and moon are under his control. The life and death is under his control. Everything in the world is under his control. So, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. I turn my face towards him who created the heaven and the earth. So that is the concept of Tawheed, and that is the concept of principle of Allah's authority and understanding everything. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said to him, he became mabhut. That means he became, he could not speak, he could confounded. Mabhut alladhi kafar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimin. But doesn't mean that now because he became dumbfounded, or he became silent, he could not say anything, that he believed. Some people, even when they see the truth, they don't accept it. And they remain in their stubbornness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide such people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those who are willing to receive the guidance. But those whose life is the life of zulm, the life of oppression and injustice and wrongdoing, such people do not receive the guidance. Even though guidance is there, and guidance is for all people, but not to, there are many people who do not benefit from the guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this example, of course, Ibrahim alayhi salam's presentation of the message, and the person is disputing with him, Hajja Ibrahim. Ibrahim was not disputing with him, but he is the one who was disputing with Ibrahim. He is the one saying that he was God, not Allah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam argued with him and explained to him. Because the Quran says, Udu ila sabil rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana wa jadilhum billati hi ahsan. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom, with good preaching. And when people argue, then argue with them in a nice manner. So Ibrahim alayhi salam spoke to him this argument, but the argument is a nice argument. And the why, and the Quran says, An atahu Allahul mulk, the king was arguing and he was arrogant because he had kingdom, because he was a ruler. Sometimes people, they have some authority, some power, some wealth, and they become very arrogant. They think that they are gods. They control everything. Everything is under their control. But they are not. Nobody is under controls everything. Everybody is under the control of Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumit. My Lord is the one who gives life and who takes away life. That is absolutely under the command of Allah. That's why we say a very beautiful dua, La ilaha illa ant, La ilaha illa huwa, yuhyi wa yumit. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. There is no God except Allah alone. There is no partner with Him, and He is the one. The kingdom belongs to Him. له الملك وله الحمد. And praise is for Him, and He is the one who gives life, and He is the one who gives death, and He has power over everything. This is a beautiful du'a. That the Prophet ﷺ used to say again and again. That is a belief that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibrahim alayhi salam presented this message, and this is the message of Tawheed, this is the message of Islam. But some people accept it and some people don't accept it. And then we have another story of a person who passed by a ruin. And Allah says, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ 100 عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعَثَهُ قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتَ قَالَ لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قَالَ بَلْ لَبِثْتَ 100 عَامٍ فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ لَمْ يَتَسَنَّهُ وانظر الى حمارك ولنجعلك آية للناس وانظر الى العظام كيف ننشزها ثم نكسوها لحما فلما تبين له قال اعلم ان الله على كل شيء قدير. Or like him who passed by a town as it was fallen in ruins upon its roofs. He said, how shall Allah bring it to life again after his death? So Allah made him die for 100 years. Then he raised him up. He said, how long did you remain thus? He said, I remain a day or part of a day. Allah said, nay, you remain thus 100 years. But look at your food and your drink, they have not spoiled. And look at your donkey, and that we may make you a sign unto the people. So look at the bones, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh. When this became clear to him, he said, I know that Allah has power over all things. So this is a person who was passing by a town. Now, who was that person and what town and when it was, that is not mentioned here. So Quran has generalized this story as a universal story. It could be of any person passing by any town, any place, and asking this question. We go to the graveyards. And sometimes you give a big graveyard. There's a lot of people are buried there. And then you ask question, how can all these people are going to be raised up? question might come to your mind. How can it happen that all of these are going to come out alive from their graves? Is it possible? Yes, indeed, it is possible. People are going to come out of their graves. So this person passed by a town that was in ruin. It was destroyed. And the homes were fallen. The roofs were fallen, and then after that, the walls were fallen. The whole thing was in ruin. The buildings fall down, the roofs fall down, and then after that, the building was totally in ruin. And then he asked this question, "Anna yuhyi hadhihi Allahu ba'da mawtiha?" How would it be that this whole town, this whole village will come to life? Would that be possible? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him a miracle and showed him something that by which he can see that happen. So this is a special vision that the person had. Some of the commentators say that this person was Khidr alayhi salam, was an angelic figure. So some people give the name of this person, Alladhi marra ala qariya, the person who passed by, that was Khidr alayhi salam. And then some people say, no, it was not Khidr alayhi salam, but it was Uzair alayhi salam. Uzair alayhi salam was one of the prophets of Bani Israel. And he's called Ezra in the English language. So there it was Ezra. And this was the experience of Ezra. And some say that no, it is the experience of Prophet Ezekiel. Prophet Ezekiel is an Israelite prophet. And there is a whole book called the Book of Ezekiel in the Bible. And in this book, there are prophecies of Ezekiel, an experience of Ezekiel. And one of the experiences is that he was passing by a valley of the dead. So the story is not exactly what is the way it is mentioned here in the Quran, but there's a lot of similarities. So some people say it is probably the story of Ezekiel that is referred to here. Ezekiel was in 6th century BC, 6th century before Jesus, peace be upon him. So possible. But it really doesn't make any difference who was that person. The Quran wants to tell you that, tell us all, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls life and death. Life and death is in the control of Allah. As was mentioned before, yuhyi wa yumit. So in a similar way here, Allah is the one who guides and Allah is the one who gives life and he takes away life. So this person said, "Anna yuhyi hadhihi Allahu ba'da mawtiha." So he looked at the ruined city, and he said, how come this city is going to come to life? Some people say it was city of Jerusalem that was destroyed by Bukhtanasar. Bukhtanasar came in 589 and destroyed. He was a Babylonian ruler who came and destroyed the whole city of Jerusalem. It was in ruin, as mentioned also in Surah Bani Israel, Surah number 17. So this prophet at that time, he was passing by and he said, would it be that this city will come to life? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him in himself. أَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِيَةَ عَامٍ. Allah made him die and he remained dead for 100 years. And then he was raised. So just like Ashab al-Kahf were the people of the cave. They were more than 300 years. They were asleep. And this person was actually dead for 100 years. فَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِيَةَ عَامٍ. And then he was resurrected. ثُمَّ بَعَثَهُ. So this is perhaps the only person who was resurrected here in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, how long did you live? How long did you stay in that way? The state in that state of death, how long did you stay in that way? And he thought that this was just a day, or maybe part of the day. So he did not realize that it was such a long time. And he had his food and drink with him, and he also had his donkey that he used for ride. So the person was dead for 100 years, but he was intact, his body was intact. Nothing happened to him. The clothes that he was wearing were the same clothes. And nothing happened to his clothes. The food that he had, his water and his whatever he wanted to eat, everything was fresh. Lam yatasanna. It was not spoiled. For 100 years, it remained the same way. Ila ta'amika wa sharabika lam yatasanna. But his donkey, he could not see his donkey there. Only thing he saw was bones. Bones of the donkey. So donkey died and donkey perished, and completely, only thing left was some of his bones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now see yourself. We are going to make you a sign for the people, that you go and speak to the people, and the people realize that how the dead become to life. And wanzur ila al-azam, and look at the bones yourself by your eyes, see that the bones, how we resurrect them, how we assemble them, and then we clothe them, the flesh. So he saw that the bones of the dengue are coming together, and then he saw the flesh is coming, and the dengue became alive. So he saw by his own eyes that. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ قَالَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِرٍ. He was not like Namrud, who heard Ibrahim alayhi salam and he did not believe that. Who realized that he is not the one who gives life and death, it is Allah who does that. Because Allah is the one who brings the sun from the east and brings the sun, and also the sun goes to set in the west. So فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ, when it became clear to him, when he realized that, he said, أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِرٍ. I know that Allah has power over everything. So this was not a disbeliever, as mentioned that our commentators say that he was probably a prophet, so he was not a disbeliever, but he had some time, people are, even though they believe, but they ask questions, and there is nothing wrong to ask questions as long as it is for understanding, as you have the following example also. So here he said, "Anna yuhyi hadhihi Allah ba'da mawtiha." How come this will come to life? How will Allah raise this town after its death? That question was not a question of denial, but this was simply for understanding. Yeah, that, and so he went through an experience himself, and he saw that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this, لِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ, so that you have an example, a sign for the people. That sign of the people is the yes, life is, and that both of them are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the example of a person who received the guidance, and a person who realized the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is not in darkness, but he is in light. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, as was mentioned before. وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَانْظُرْ إِلَى الْعِظَامِ, and look at the bones, how we assemble them and how we clothe them with flesh. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ قَالَ أَعْلَمُ, I know that. Now my iman is become stronger, and I knew that Allah has power over everything. So Allah indeed has power over everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever he wills. And that is a great reminder in this story, to understand the power of Allah and the power of Allah over life and death. And then you have the third story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. First was Ibrahim alayhi salam, was in conversation with the king of his town, of his area, and now you have Ibrahim alayhi salam himself going through an experience. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا ثُمَّ ادْعُهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And remember when Abraham said, my Lord, show me how do you revive the dead? He said, do you not believe? He said, indeed I do, but to let my heart be at rest. He said, take four birds, tame them to yourself. Then put a part of them on every hill around you and then call them. They will come to you rushing. And know that Allah is exalted in power, wise. Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a believer, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arini kaifa tuhyil maut. He wants to learn. He wants to have a full grasp of things. So Allah, mujhe show me. Of course, he was a believer. So there is a call, ilmul yaqeen. And then there is called Aynul Yaqeen, and there is Haqqul Yaqeen. So there are three types of certainty. One is the certainty that comes to you through hearing, through knowledge that comes to you from the Book of Allah, from the Message that comes to you through the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's your ilm. And you make tasdeeq. You affirm that knowledge, and you recognize that knowledge, and you say, yes, I believe that. But then there is something called Aynul Yaqeen, that means seeing things. For example, the Quran says that there will be a life after death, and there is Jannah, and there is Jahannam, there is paradise, and there is hellfire. And we all have the ilm of that, and we believe in that, we affirm that. We said we do, tasdeeq, yes, Al Jannah, and Al Nar. So this is our ilm. But then after we die and we will be resurrected, then we'll see that. We see the Jannah and we see the hellfire. So this will be Aynul Yaqeen. That means seeing that the reality, seeing that in which you believe. So that is eyes are seeing that. And then after that, people who will go to Jannah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among them, they will go in the Jannah. So that will become haqqul yaqeen. That will be the reality. They see that they realize that in which they believed. And those who will go to hell, they will see that. It will become haqqul yaqeen. So haqqul yaqeen is that you have the real experience. Be real. As some of the scholars say, it is like you know about honey, that honey is sweet, honey is good. Honey is healthy, and then you see the honey, and then you taste the honey. So first is ilm, knowledge, and the other is ayn. Ayn is seeing, and the third one is the realizing that. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُوْبِنْ. So Allah, so Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted to see that. He wanted to have ayn yaqeen. رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. Show me how it happened. And this is called mushahada. Mushahada is seeing, observing. And mushahada is the way of learning, a way of knowledge. Rabbi arini kaifa tuhyil mawta. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course Allah knew that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to realize that Ibrahim was not a disbeliever. Ibrahim was a believer. So Allah asked him, awalam tu'min, do you not believe? To emphasize this point that Ibrahim was a believer. So the question is given to us so that we understand that. So Allah said, Awalam tu'min, do you not believe? And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Bala, indeed, yes, I do believe. Wallah, I'm a believer, I believe that. I believe that you are going to raise the dead, but I'm asking this question for itminan, so that my heart feel comfort. And that is okay. Itminan is of different kinds. Some people have some itminan, some people have more itminan. Of course, prophets have the greatest itminan. And prophets are often shown things that are going to happen. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to Isra and Mi'raj. And he had his night journey towards Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem he was taken to heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. So it was direct counter, direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, Jibreel alayhi salam took him around and he was shown heaven and hell. Why he was shown heaven and hell? So that when he come back after this mushahada, after this observation, he can preach the message with full confidence, with the strength, he can give the message. So like walakili yatmainna qalbi, prophets, they are given that kind of assurance. So my heart feel assurance. And itminan qalb is very good. It's a great blessing. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya. Believers are those whose hearts have comfort. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Remember, in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you do the zikr of Allah, the more your hearts are at rest, comfort, and tranquility comes there. Walakin li yatma'inna qalbi. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, bala. Indeed, I believe that. But I'm asking this so that my heart feel rest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a way of knowing how the dead come to life. And Allah said to him, take four birds and tame them. Make those birds recognize you and you recognize them. So that you know that these are the birds that we are talking about, and these are the birds that are going to be with you and to come to you. Fasurhunna ilayk, incline them to yourself, or to tame them to yourself. Make them as your pet. So arba'ata min at-tayr, four birds. What kind of birds? Allah knows. What those birds, but they take four kind of birds, four different kind of birds, and they become your pets. Fasurhunna ilayk, you know them and they know you. And then cut them into pieces, slaughter them, and mix them up. And then portion of each of all this, four birds together, their meat and their bones and all of this, feathers. You put one portion on one mountain and another mountain, so on different mountains around you, you put them there. And then call them. Summadarhun, and call them. And they will come to you rushing. Each one with its own feather, each one with its own bones, each one with its own flesh. And they will come to you, sa'yan, running, rushing, they will come to you. And this is an example. This is a parable. This is an example of how the souls are going to return to Allah. Allah knows every soul. Just like you know your birds, Allah knows every soul. Every person is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though they die and their bodies crumble and the flesh is no more there and the bones crumble and nothing. Sometimes mixed up in everything. Sometimes one grave may have several dead. I mean, it's not like what they have, that each person has one own grave. But in many places, people bury one after another in the same grave. So it is people's bodies are mixed up. Their bones are mixed up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to, when he calls them, فَيَدْعَاكُمْ دَعْوَةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تَخْرُجُونَ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you one call, then you will all come out. And you will all come out. So Allah says, you will see yourself. Those birds are going to come because by the command of Allah, you call them. Of course, Ibrahim alayhi salam was calling them by the command of Allah. Bismillah, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was happening by the command of Allah, not by the command of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not the one who was reviving those birds to life, but it is by the command of Allah. Allah wanted to show him that. And so that he see by his own eyes how the dead are coming to life. ثُمَّ دُعُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيَا. So this is the example of resurrection. This is the way how resurrection is going to take place. That Allah is going to call them, call all of us, and we إِذَاهُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. And then everybody is going to come out from his grave or from wherever that person will be. They are all going to come out and they are coming towards their Lord. So these birds are coming to the person who tamed them and he knows them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every soul and every soul is going to return to Allah. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainnah, any pious souls, righteous souls, the souls that have itminan, they as well as those who do not have that. All of them are going to come. And then there will be day of judgment. ثُمَّ دُعْهُنَّ يَعْتِينَكَ سَعْيَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will see them. Somebody said very nicely, he said, يَعْتِينَكَ سَعْيَا. They will come to you running. Allah did not say they will come to you flying. Even though birds may be fly, but this is just one point. He said it so that he see them. He sees them that they are coming towards him. So they are all coming, whatever, whether running or they are flying, but they are coming rushing. They come to you rushing and know that Allah has power. And Allah Aziz and Hakim. That is, Allah is mighty. All power belongs to Allah and He is wise. So His might, His power is with His wisdom. And He uses His power with wisdom. So it will come, it will happen on a day, on a particular day. And He has given chance to everybody to live their life before that happens. Because that will be the day of judgment and that will be a final decision. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that day as the day of success, as the day of happiness. At the day when we'll be in the company of the righteous people and also in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here you have another example of life and death and also explaining that how the resurrection is going to take place. So these are very beautiful stories, although they are mentioned in very brief, so that people get the idea, get the principles. And that is the style of the Quran. The Quran does not go into all the details unnecessary, but go to the point so that you understand what is being said. So first of all, Ibrahim alayhi salam's discussion with the king of his time, and in a beautiful way, he made the discussion and debate. He did not dwell only on one point, but he moved to another point. So, okay, give the answer towards that one. And the second thing is, that is the story of the person who passed by a township. And the third is Ibrahim alayhi salam's own question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the resurrection of the dead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand the message and to follow it. And all of this, as we mentioned, is Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum at-taghut yukhrijunahum min an-nur ila adh-dhulumat. Allah is the protector, Allah is the friend of those who believe and take them out from darkness and to light. The Quran takes us out from darkness and to light, but of course it's only for those who want to follow the Quran, who want to understand the Quran and take the message of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those people and keep us on the right path. So let's take some questions, inshallah.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. A couple of quick questions. Do scriptures from other major religions mentions some of the same trials that Ibrahim alayhi salam went through? If they do, how are they similar and how do they differ?
Yeah, I mean, let's take the first one, Ibrahim alayhi salam having the argument with the king with Namrud. Now, this story is not in the Bible, but it is in the Talmud. There is another collection of books that more like commentaries. Some of them are excellent. So it is mentioned there. So there are many Jewish people who accept that. Some accept, some don't accept that. So that will tell you about this story. The other story is the story of this township from which the person passes by. And as I mentioned, book of Ezekiel talks about that Ezekiel passing by the Valley of the Dead. And he was told that prophesy, that is say, and then you will see the bones are assembling and you'll see the flesh and you see the people are coming to rise. So Quran does not say exactly in the same way, but it mentions the story. And the Bible does not say that person died for 100 years, but it is mentioned here in the Quran. So but there are certain differences, but they are similar story. And you have that. And then the third one is about Ibrahim alayhi salam asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he have the experience. He see this is the vision of Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned there. So Quran sometimes say stories that have similarities with the biblical stories, and some of them do not have the similarity with biblical stories. However, the message of the Quran is very clear, and that is that there is only one God, and the God has all the power. This power does not belong to anyone. Is that clear? Or do you have some other point?
No, that's clear. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. From your experience and interaction with interfaith circles, what is the level of respect and reverence that you see for Ibrahim al-Islam? Is it similar to Islamic traditions? I mean, for example, we commemorate his life, we read Durood and send blessings, we perform Hajj. Do you see any similar traditions being practiced? Other faiths that recognize Ibrahim al-Islam?
There are a lot of things about Ibrahim al-Islam that are similar, but his going to Mecca and building the Kaaba, I mean, it says that Ibrahim alayhi salam went towards south, and south from Jerusalem is the land of Hijaz, the land of Mecca. But the details are not there. Why they are not there? Those books were not preserved in their original situation. So they went through a lot of changes, alterations by different groups. And they are called in the biblical, those who do the biblical studies, they call them redactions. That is edition. People do the editing. And there are different groups that did the editing. So that's why the biblical historians use the word that Elohistic tradition and priestly tradition and exilic tradition. So they're different tradition at different times. And through that, these books went through. And so we really don't know exactly what was there before and how these changes fully took place. But the biblical scholars, when they talk about various traditions, they look at the language, they look at the text itself, and they see that there is the differences in the text, they do not look at the same, like written at the same time by the same person, but like different people are writing it at different times. And then they say the combination of different traditions in there. So some of them had emphasis on one side, somebody have a, so that's why you'll find sometimes even the contradiction between one tradition and the other tradition. For example, the tradition that you have in the Bible put down Ismail, does not say very much about Ismail alayhi salam. They concentrate only on Ishaq alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam was not given much prominence there. And because it was the Isaac family that became the dominant family, and so you find that tradition there. Allahu alam.
Thank you. Dastiki, another question from one of our viewers. The Quran makes mention of the wrongdoing people, those who do wrong. Does that apply only to non-believers, or can Muslims also do wrong at certain points in their lifetime?
As I mentioned last time, that there is zulm duna zulm, the different kind of zulm. That zulm means wrongdoing. Zulm is the wad'u shay fi ghairi mahalli, that you do not do what you are supposed to do. And there are different kinds. The most serious, the most terrible is shirk, that is considering someone beside Allah as God, or denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the most serious one. But there are other ones also. So when the Quran talks about zulm, the wrongdoing does not mean only the people who do not believe. But also, people who do injustice towards each other. There's also zalimin. There are different kind of zalimin. And also kufr is in the same way. Kufrun duna kufr. There's kufr means ungratefulness. Ungratefulness to Allah and ungratefulness to each other. When somebody does something and you do that, is used that in the Quran that way. So zulm is not only disbelief. Zulm is all kind of, and every zulm on the day of judgment, you have to give response for that. And may Allah, unless there is forgiveness, unless there is repentance, then the consequences will be very difficult. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And if anybody has done anything wrong to anyone, one should try to repent. One should try to reconcile with other person and correct this thing.
Inshallah. Ameen. Dr. Siddiqui, final question. Throughout history, prophets and their believers were witness to certain miracles. Will people receive more reward for believing without ever having witnessed any miracles?
Miracles come to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a special gift that is given to the prophets, that they are the ones who are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by some of the mu'jizat, some of the miracles. And these are only to emphasize the truthfulness of the prophet and to make the people believe in the prophet and his message. So that is the reason for miracles. The Quran mentions some of the miracles, not, there are many other miracles that happened with the Prophet ﷺ, but the Quran does not mention all of them. Some of the miracles are mentioned that are especially for the help of the people to understand and to believe. Isa alayhi salam, for example, several miracles are mentioned with Isa alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam's miracle is mentioned. And then Musa alayhi salam coming to the river and parting the river for him, and so that Bani Israel can pass through. Some of these miracles are mentioned in the Quran. And so these are mu'jizat, are for the Anbiya, for the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other pious people, they may have some other honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are called karamat, and the honorable thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that. And it is very important that one should not exaggerate about that, and there are a lot of stories that people have made up, so one has to make sure that these are authentic stories and without any exaggeration. But yes, some special gift can happen to some people at some time. These are special honor that is given. But miracles are only for the prophets of Allah.
So is there more reward for believing without seeing a miracle? People who believe in God without ever seeing a miracle, do they receive more reward?
Yeah, it's not required to have to see a miracle. The Quran says that is it not enough for them that they have the Book of Allah? So, Book of Allah is enough of a miracle. A person pay attention to it. And the life of the Prophet and the life of the early community, how the believers who did not know anything and they became people of great learning, great knowledge, and they changed that, that time. So that is the Ummah that was established by the Prophet. So those are enough. And the Quran also gives you a lot of dalail, that are a lot of arguments that are rational. So use those rational arguments, understand the natural arguments, spiritual arguments, and if you find some miracles, alhamdulillah, that is. But it is not necessary to have the miracles. And inshallah, those who believe without seeing a miracle, and if their iman is strong and authentic and true, they will receive a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. May Allah bless you abundantly. Just a quick reminder, inshallah, we will continue with our hadith and tafsir class at the same timings next Sunday. And as always, for all details and information, follow ISOC on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Or check the weekly newsletter for all program details and updates. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. May we join you for a closing dua?
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه والله show us the truth as truth and help us to follow it and show us the falsehood as falsehood and help us to turn away from it اللهم رب زدنا علما والحقنا بالصالحين والله increase our knowledge and give us the company of the righteous people here in this world and in the hereafter اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى اللهم زين الإيمان في قلوبنا اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين والله make the إيمان the faith dear to our hearts and give us the beauty of iman in our heart and make the denial the disbelief and ingratitude not acceptable to us and also keep us on the right path with Allah min al-rashidin people of righteousness and goodness Allahumma ighfir lana wa li walidayna wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat yawma yaqumul hisab Allah forgive us forgive our parents and forgive the believers, men and men and women. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء ومن كل وباء ومن كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذك من كل شر اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين. بارك الله فيك.